Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. This is the October 15th regularly scheduled board meeting, and thank you all to the band members for being here. We really appreciate it. It's nice to see a full house where nobody's mad.
Not yet.
Some hand in the back of the room. I'd like to propose on the order of business that we adjust the order of business so that we can hear the performance from Mr. Valier's band and get everybody back home. I think we've got consensus out there. And is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Great. Dr. Prager, would you like to do the honors?
Board, I'd like to formally introduce our amazing band.
I just want to, obviously we're here to say thank you and express our appreciation. In front of you is our 8th grade group here at Los Osos Middle School. We have a brand new 6th grade band here as well, which is doing just great and a lot of fun to work with, and also a 7th grade group. I thought this would be a great group to represent our program and our part of the district, and in the whole district, to be honest, because there are so many great things going on in music, instrumental, vocal, elementary, general music. Just got some great people doing some great things here. I can't express to you how appreciative I am for your recent contribution to what we're doing, the acquisition of new instruments, which will be here very soon, from what I understand. And I can't express to you how much it was needed, but especially how much we appreciate you taking that step and making that commitment to what our kids are doing here, because hopefully you'll hear, not just tonight, but as the year goes on and in future years, what we're trying to do in music in our district and in the arts in general, and how many kids in our district are involved in what we're doing. I feel really fortunate to see these kids. You know, some of these kids I've known for a couple of years. I'll get to know them over the next 4 years as well at the high school. And I see the growth, what they do in music and the arts. Most of them are outstanding students as well. And I know I'm biased, but I believe that music's a huge part of that. And if you ask any music educator or any person that's gone through music education, arts education, they'll tell you that quote-unquote academics and the arts can go hand in hand. It's a viable career. It's something that I'm really encouraged by your recent move of acquiring some new stuff for us. It tells me that you really value the arts and feel like it's part of our curriculum in our district. And that's so important to me as a teacher, obviously, to have what we need to do great things with, but also the number of kids that investment is going to affect over the next 2 or 3 decades is in the thousands, you know, and so it's worthwhile. And on behalf of the kids, their parents, and the other music educators in our district, I just want to let you know how much how thankful I am, how much we really appreciate what you're doing for us and your support. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Bellier. That was very well said. And I also would like to thank, on behalf of the board, the parents and family members who support these outstanding musicians and students all the time instead of just on a special occasion, but especially appreciate you allowing them to come here and allow the board to see them perform. It was wonderful. Cool. And
like to invite you all. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, when's your December concert? But I think that's what you were just going to talk about. Huh?
I was going to let you know. First of all, this group is doing a presentation as part of our Area 55 event that will be happening here at the middle school next weekend. For the past couple of years, we've performed on that, and it's a composition project for us, but it turns out to be kind of a cool part of the festivities. And our December concert is December 5th, Thursday, December 5th, 7 p.m. at Cal Poly at the Christopher Cohen Center, which is the Performing Arts Center. Love to have you come and be part of that and hear what the kids are doing. Doing a performance this early in the year is a little raw sometimes and 6 weeks into school, but I'm really proud of all the kids I'm working with right now. It's been such a great start to the year and lots of promise for the future in our program over here. So we'd like to finish just with one more piece by Robert W. Smith. It's supposed to depict Hurricane Ivan, which happened in, I believe, 06. I shouldn't have said that. It's probably on TV now. I said the wrong date. But a huge storm. It's called the Second Storm, depicting Hurricane Ivan on the southern part of the United States. So thanks for having us tonight. Thanks for listening and for your support. And we'll see you soon.
Hey, Mr. Bellier, I know that the music boosters are very involved in helping out the band. My understanding is they're having a Christmas tree sale this year. Is there anybody that these are televised? Is there anybody that if anybody's watching on TV that they can contact in order to get a great Christmas tree? We buy them every year, and they're the most beautiful things.
Yeah, we have excuse me, on the Morro Bay High School website. There's a music booster link, and if it's not up yet, they haven't started selling them yet. But if they once they get that going, I'm sure they'll post that on there. And that's probably the easiest place to get a hold of our booster folks before I give out their cell phone numbers on the the kids are a great connection too. If you have neighbors or friends that are in the music program, not just the band but the choir program as well, at both the middle school and the high school. And it's a great fundraiser. It really helps us to do some of the things that we do. So yeah, go to the Morro Bay High School website. That'll be your best bet for that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, musicians, and thank you, Mr. Bellier. We'll take a 5-minute break while we make the transition. Thank you.
Mr. Buckman.
We'll talk slowly while Mr. Buckman
makes his way back. There's Mr. Buckman.
There he is. Thank you, Mark. All right. We will return to the regular agenda. And our public comment on closed session items. We had a stipulated expulsion, and that will be voted on later in action consent or the consent agenda. We had a discussion with negotiators and provided guidance, and no further action was taken. Okay. I guess we'll do the action on the stipulated student discipline agreement at this point, item 4.02, and I'll be abstaining because I wasn't present for the presentation.
I'll move approval of the stipulated student discipline agreement. Yeah, as other means of correction are not feasible.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Unger, second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention. Passes 6-0-1. Thank you. And we will move on to approval of the minutes. We have two sets. The first is from September 17th, 2013. Don't be bashful.
I'll move approval of the minutes of September 17th, 2013 as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, any corrections, changes? Seeing none, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. And next, the minutes of October 1st, 2013. And the chair moves approval of those minutes.
I'll second that motion.
Any corrections, additions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. Next, we'll go on to student representatives. Excellent. We'll go to Yacina Salgado from Pacific Beach High School. Welcome. Please go ahead. Oh, kind of up a little bit there.
Thanks. Good evening. My name is Yacina Salgado, and I'm a junior at Pacific Beach High School. We recently finished our first marking period where nearly 74% of the students earned 9 credits. That's the highest percentage that have ever accomplished that feat in the first marking period. Also, numerous students won Panda Express gift cards for their perfect attendance and great grades during the marking period. The staff is now using technology to help run the grading and scheduling system more efficiently. This new process will bring additional instructional days to the program every marking period. That means that teachers will be in contact more with students, and that means the students will learn more. We're also bringing in new instructional technology programs like Achieve 3000, A+, and Alex to allow staff and students to do a great job with new Common Core standards. Pacific Beach is partnering with the United Way to provide a nonviolent communication class to students 2 days a week. The class allows students to help to develop a deeper understanding about how to work in group environments and communicate with people.
So 2 weeks ago, Morabit High School had their homecoming week and just the usual events, carnival. We had some blow-up slides and obstacle courses, which are always really fun and painful at the same time. clubs hosted their own activities in order for them to earn some money so they can do what they need to do for the rest of the year. And there was a high number of student involvement from everyone. It was really crowded, which is always good, yet uncomfortable. The Powder Puff game, the sophomores won in the last few minutes, 6-0. They just barely snagged a touchdown. And the seniors dominated the game, breaking our record from last year of 42-0. On Friday, during the halftime at our game, we crowned our king and queen. And our king was senior Joe Rapucci, and our queen was senior Alana Williams. On Saturday, we hosted our homecoming dance, and it was a great turnout. Having been the first dance of the year, the freshmen are always kind of awkward. So I am proud of our DJs. They just did a really good job of kind of evening out, because you can't please everybody with the music. It's always an issue. And there was a lot of involvement with the costumes from the different themes from all the classes. And two last shameless plugs from the music department over at the high school. This Friday, the high school choirs will have their fall concert at St. Timothy's Church in Morro Bay at 7 p.m., and admission is $5. And the next day at 11 a.m. at Bravo Slow at the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center, our chamber choir will be performing, and that is free admission. And there are so many other wonderful groups that perform at Bravo Slow, and it's going to be really worth it. So I hope you guys can make it.
Thank you both. I appreciate it. And we do understand that you have things you need to do this evening. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Right,
Brooklyn, did you give us the time on that concert on Friday?
Friday is at 7 p.m.
7 p.m., thank you.
That. Anyway, if you'd like to stick around, we always want to hear from you on issues that that may affect you. But we do understand that you have obligations and things to do. So if you slip out, we'll understand. But thank you very much for both of your presentations. Next, we will move to correspondence. There was one item of correspondence from the Julian Crocker of the County Office of Education approving our budgets for the 2013-14. There you go. I did read the letter. And that's all of our correspondence that I received. Any board member correspondence you want to acknowledge? Okay. Moving on to public comment. This is a period where you can address the board on any item that is not on the agenda, and if we don't have any requests to speak, but it isn't necessary, if you'd like to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda, please come forward. Seeing no one, we will close public comment and move on to the business and budget update. Mr. Crocker.
Well, we had the opportunity last Thursday to actually attend the SF Squared conference, and three of the board members attended with Dr. Prater and myself. It was, and basically at that meeting, it's kind of it's the basic aid aspect of school services, which is a financial and finance organization that kind of helps out schools, lets us know what's happening in the state and as well as the region. So it was really nice to get together with that group of basic aid districts and kind of hear from them, kind of what their insights were, what their concerns were, kind of their questions, because a lot of it's centered around the same types of questions and issues that we face here in San Luis Coastal. So I would say two kind of key things that stuck out to me in the meeting as we went around the room. We kind of asked people, you know, what's the main concern for you and your district and moving forward. And so the two key areas really for people was, one, technology. And how do we get the technology we need and how do we continue to fund that technology over time? So that was a key one, which was interesting a lot of districts. And then the second kind of piece that came out of it, too, was facilities. There were several districts, as we went around the room, talking about facilities and bonds and needs and tying those things together. So it was just an interesting kind of aspect to hear, you know, from the group of those two things. One thing that I'm going to put out on my blog tomorrow with my business services update is they had a great report on basic aid school districts. And I know I believe the board received a copy of that, and so we'll put it out as well tomorrow. But it really breaks down kind of RFP in terms of using those funds. So that will be something that we can't just select anybody. It's actually part of the proposition, part of the law that you do go out. So according to what I found out today, so we'll be coming back to the board with that. And then lastly, just for the board to know, there was about $285 million that was put forward for state facilities projects over the past month. And so that is simply funding projects that are currently in the loop to receive funds. So it's not like you can't apply for more. And the reason why I bring that up is just to emphasize how important that facilities study is going to be for us and moving forward and looking at getting in line. Because you can't get funds if you're not in line. And so that'll be something to really be interesting to see what our eligibility is and what projects we want to move forward with and get in line for that state funds, because there is talk about a state bond in November 2014. So, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we're ready to go if those funds become available.
Thank you, Mr. Pinkerton. Let me go to the public if anyone would like to comment on this agenda item. Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll move on to the next item, which is the educational services update. Mr. Robinette.
All right. Well, I don't want to take away from what we'll be doing on October 29th. The board, we have a study session on October 29th on the subject of mathematics and specifically our mathematics progression going from middle school through high school. I will say, though, just to kind of to whet your appetite for that meeting, that one of the interesting things as we explore the new national standards in mathematics is that there's a fundamental difference between, and we should know this, between algebra as a topic of study and algebra as a subject that students take at a certain point in their school trajectory. Because in our, truth be known, our kindergarten students have, as part of their national standards, something that reads like this: for any number from 1 through 9, find the number that makes 10 when added to the given number. That's an algebraic operation. And if you look at first grade standards under the National Common Core, the associative property is taught implicitly, which is it's pure algebra. And yet we know, we contrast that with that course we typically call Algebra 1, kind of our mother's algebra, the Algebra 1 that we took, which is about extending linear and exponential relationships and analyzing quadratic equations and doing those data sets that you do in Algebra 1. In our current world, students take that Algebra 1 course maybe in the seventh grade. If they're kind of accelerated, they take it in the eighth grade. If they're sort of on track in our current model, they take it in the ninth grade if maybe they need a little help to get there. And we've even had iterations of two-year algebra programs and different ways of kind of getting through that concept. So in that current world, if you look at our math results over the last 10 years, and we'll see that as part of our achievement results, yeah, we're above the county, we're above the state, but there's nothing that we can be, you know, tooting our horn about with mathematics. And in fact, our state can't toot its horn about mathematics, and in fact, our nation can't, because we rank, depending on where you look at it, somewhere in the 25th range behind China and Finland and the Netherlands and South Korea in mathematics, where that algebra class is taught at a much later place. And so Algebra 1, as we know it under the National Math Standards, is a very rigorous course, and it presupposes a pretty high level of knowledge and skills as a requisite. It probably belongs for most students in grade 9, even those students who are high flyers. And so that's the preview of what we'll be talking about on Monday, or on the 29th of October, I mean, because one of the questions we'll have to ask is, you know, how do we accelerate students to get to that point with fidelity? How do we deal with those students that are right now kind of in the middle? They're in middle school right now, taking this algebra class or taking something different. How do we engender public trust that we know what we're doing? The good news is 46 out of 50 states are adopting these same standards, so hopefully we're not alone in this, but that's what our study session will be about. So that's kind of all I'll tell you about math right now. Any questions about that before I move on to Cayucas? What's a quadratic equation? Well, ask any of our fourth graders. Okay. Yes. Okay. I just want to give you a little update on the situation with the Cayucas Elementary District, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. In fact, well, I'll spend a little time. Just the short history, as the board is aware, and I've made given you some updates in Friday notes. Students who leave the Cayucas Elementary School in the eighth grade are supposed to go to Coast Union High School by law. Cayucas sends about $1.2 million. Your ruling that we're still trying to make sense of about Cayucas being a component district of Coast Union. So essentially, Cayucas doesn't just feed into Cambria, but when the am I pronouncing that right? I always get that wrong. Is it Cambria or Cambria? I think it's Cambria. When the Cambria Elementary and High School districts unified in the mid-90s, Cayucas rejected being part of that unification. They had the ability to unify, and they said, no, we want to stay independent. But because of the way that unification was run, they had the same superintendent overseeing all three of the districts at the time, they de facto became a component district, even though they became independent. So there was no territory to transfer in this case. So this notion of component district is very unclear in Ed Code. There's not a lot of definition about it, but essentially they can't change that feeder pattern according to the State Board of Education. So it sounds as if there's probably only three resolutions to any change here. One would be a legislative change in education code, which happens. But, of course, that takes some assemblymen at the state level advocating for that change and probably some attorney fees. A change could involve the Cayucas District and San Luis Coastal unifying as one district. But, of course, that would take two boards and two communities saying that's a good idea. And, you know, Cayucas has quite a bit of bond debt and a lot of issues like board reorganizations, and it's a long process. Or Cayucas could become a unified district themselves as opposed to an elementary district, which is an interesting thing. That's actually happened in the state of California. There's a couple school districts that are unified school districts that do not have high schools. They keep all their funds in their community, and then they make deals with local schools to send their high school students. So they set up MOUs with one or more districts or even charter schools to educate their high school students. So I suppose that is a possibility. All of those options involve time. They involve money. They certainly would involve the Cayucas school board. And they'll go that same route of going through that County Committee on Territory Transfer, which has up to this point not been too amenable to change. So it remains unclear if there will be anything coming from the Cayucas Board. Trustee Mrs. Rogers and I attended their board meeting last Wednesday, and it seems pretty clear that the community frustration is pretty palpable, but I don't know what that board will do. But as it stands, we're still educating the majority of students who went to Cayucas Elementary. Any questions?
Let me go to the public first. Anyone from the public like to comment on this issue? Seeing no one, Marilyn?
Well, just to be clear, in a very concise way, would you say that it's fair to say that at any given time at Morro Bay High School, we may have upwards of 80 Cayucas students, which we are educating at a cost of $10,000 per student, and our taxpayers are paying that cost, while $1.2 million of monies generated by Cayucas taxpayers for the education of those students is going to Coast Union High School District?
I could not be more concise than what you just said.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions, Jim?
This is just a comment. I don't know if it really has much bearing. Is that, you know, as a person who's participated in the education of Cayucas students over a number of years at Morro Bay High School, I can attest to the fact that they're quality kids. They're good kids. It has nothing to do with us not wanting them there. It's just the issue is we'd like to have some money follow them there. We could do a lot with that at Morro Bay High School and in this district.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in the last couple of years I've been spending a lot of time with the Cayucas community following this thing. And what the sense I really have is that that's a community that, by and large, and certainly some students go to Coast Union High School. I mean, it's not as if it's – I mean, that's a great – small high school. There's nothing wrong with that. But the overwhelming sense I have is that community identifies themselves as being part of the Estero Bay. They see themselves as being linked with the athletic programs to Los Osos and Morro Bay. And if you talk to Principal Dan Adris or former Principal Pete Zotovich, who's standing up back there, you would know that the Cayucas families and parents have been very involved as booster very involved as booster leaders in our music boosters, our agricultural boosters, our athletic boosters. This is a community that has contributed a lot to the school in terms of their presence and their participation. But
okay, and that this is a follow-up to a public hearing that was held on the October 1st meeting, and this is where the board takes action. And I'll open it to the public if there's any members of the public that want to comment on this item. Seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board. Questions, comments? Okay, I'll entertain a motion on resolution 051314.
I'd like to make that motion, and I'd also like to just throw in the fact that this district and other districts in the state, we're so out of whack in our sequence of adoption. I think we're about 6 years behind. Anybody remember? Back to the budget discussions. Over the years, we've fallen behind, so the last time we went through our budget cycle was about 6 years. I'm glad to see that all the kids have all the books that they want, but they're not up to date. So I would like to make that motion. Thanks.
Marilyn?
I was prepared to make the motion, but I'll second after Mr. Buckman.
Okay. That's not a qualified motion. It's an acknowledgement that the texts are out of date. That doesn't necessarily
mean... But I just put that little plug in there, Walter.
Insufficient, though. So, okay, we have a motion by Mr. Buckman, a second by Mrs. Roger. Any further discussion or comments? Seeing no one and no other comments, Mrs. Holmesley, roll call, please.
Mr. Buckman? Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer? Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Passes unanimously.
Okay. We'll move on to item 9.01, Superintendent's State of the District and First Student Achievement Report. And that's going to be Kimberly. Oh. We're on it, aren't we? Is it getting dark in here? Oh.
You got a friend there, Amy.
I believe the board members have hard copies. I don't know whether we have extra hard copies for folks.
Yes, I think we're ready. Hard act to follow with the band. Like, we got a tough draw tonight, right? But good evening. I wanted to introduce myself, Kim McGrath, and I'm here with Amy Shields, Darla Batistic, and Aaron Lenz. And not with us tonight, Jennifer O'Hagan, although she did have a great part in presenting and preparing this for us. So tonight we're here to present our first student achievement report. And we wanted to talk to you about, these are really exciting times that we're in. There's a lot of change in the end of an era to our current data system. So we're going to discuss four things tonight. We're going to spend a little time on looking back and taking kind of our cue from the state. We want to take time to look and do a 10-year review of our data. As it comes to an end, we're going to look at where we started and now where we're ending. But we want to spend the majority of our time looking forward. So the other three topics that we'll discuss tonight are the shifts in curriculum and assessments, then our plan for this current year, and then finally we'll look at how we're going to measure our progress. So we'll begin with the data.
Good evening. Let's start with a 10-year look at STAR CST English language arts results. The first chart shows that in 2003, the percentage of San Luis Coastal students who scored proficient or advanced began higher than the state and county at 60%. Over the next 10 years, San Luis Coastal demonstrated a growth in CST English language arts of 9 percentage points to 69%. In 2013. The state experienced a 21 percentage point increase and the county a 12 percentage point increase. The growth trajectory of our district follows that of the state and county. And you might notice that the state, county, and district all experienced a 1 percentage point decrease this past year, but we don't view this as a significant change. Many across the state speculate that this actually might be due to districts and schools shifting their focus towards the new Common Core state standards. Let's move on to mathematics. In mathematics, we began in 2003 with 57% of San Luis Coastal students scoring proficient or advanced on the STAR Mathematics CST. Over the past 10 years, the percentage of students scoring proficient or advanced has remained steady, ending in 2013 with a 2 percentage point growth over the 10 years to 59%. However, over the same 10 years,
state and the county. Also, I just wanted to note that
those students that do not pass in 10th grade, the vast majority of our students go on to pass both math and English language arts in their 11th and 12th grade years. The next two slides show our annual measurable achievement objectives, or AMAOs. These are our federal accountability measures for English learners. AMAO 1 measures the percent of English learners making annual progress in their acquisition of English as measured by the California English Language Development Test, or CELT. This is the federal target, and as you can see, it increases incrementally from 2007 until actually next school year in 2014, which I think will be the last year for the CELT. And then here is SLCUSD's results. We've been making a lot of progress. Starting in 2007, we were at 47%, and in 2012, we're at 69%. The state has not yet released the data for 2013. Okay, and this next one is AMAO 2. This measures the percent of English learners attaining proficiency on the CELT. Starting in 2010, the state separated AMAO 2 into two groups. English language learners who have been in English language instruction for less than 5 years, and here's their target in white or light yellow, and English learners who have been in English language instruction for 5 years or more, and their target is higher. The creation of these two groups acknowledges the fact that developing proficiency in English takes many years. These two groups allow us to better see how students who have been in English language instruction for a longer period of time are doing compared to students who have just begun learning English. The percent of SLCUSD English learners less than 5 years, in green, shows that our students attain proficiency in English consistently above the federal target, but at the same rate. What is notable in this data is that our English learners for 5 years or more are reaching proficiency at a much faster rate than the federal target. These AMAO results indicate that our students are making annual progress and moving towards proficiency in English above federal expectations, speaking to the quality of our English language and literacy programs in San Luis Coastal.
All right, let's take a look at the Academic Performance Index, or API. This is the state measure of accountability for schools and districts. A target of 800 has been set for all districts, schools, and specific populations. This chart shows the 2013 API scores for our district and our schools. API is not a measure that we can compare year to year, side by side, because each year the data set changes. But we can look back at 2003 and make a few comparisons. In 2003, our district API was 808. That was above the proficient target, 800. In 2013, it's 844. Significantly above the proficiency target. In 2003, 9 of our schools were above the 800 target, and in 2013, there are 12. And finally, in 2003, 4 of our schools scored above the 850 mark. In 2013, 8 of our schools are at or above the 850 mark, including 3 of our Title I schools, indicating that these schools are among the top performing schools in the state. Let's take a look now at adequate yearly progress. This is a federal accountability measure. Over the past 10 years, federal targets established by No Child Left Behind have increased to reach 100% proficiency by next year, 2014. Let's take a look at our district 10-year progress in English language arts. The percent proficient for all students in the district has grown from 62 to 70% over the past 10 years. A closer look at a couple of our specific populations indicates an even steeper growth trajectory over the past 10 years.
Our socioeconomically disadvantaged percent proficient increased from 34 to 50%, 16 percentage points. And our English learner percent proficient grew from 18% in 2003 to 34% in 2013, a 16 percentage point increase. And while we did not reach the ever-increasing federal targets in every year, we do have evidence that we're making
started stronger than the county and the state. We demonstrated a significant 10% growth over the last 10 years. The passing rate for our students taking the California High School Exit Exam has remained high, with 90% of our 10th graders consistently passing in both ELA and mathematics. Our English learners are making excellent progress towards reaching proficiency. Our socioeconomically disadvantaged students have made significant gains over the past 10 years in both English language arts and mathematics. San Luis Coastal has continued to grow as measured by the Academic Performance Index. We're up 36 points to an impressive 844. Of course, there are many opportunities to grow. The 10-year review of data clearly shows us the need to continue our focus on the mathematics and extensive professional development for our teachers. Although we have made progress, we know there is much more work ahead to continue to close the achievement gap in both English language arts and mathematics. Despite our high passing rate, we know that just passing the CAISY does not mean students are ready for college and career. We are clear in our understanding that a multiple choice assessment does not adequately measure critical thinking or deeper understanding of concepts. New accountability measures will require an increased level of rigor in the classroom to better prepare students for college and career demands. So as we transition away, San Luis Coastal, along with every other district across the nation, is in this time moving towards developing 21st century teaching and learning. We're tackling two major changes. First is the change in our curriculum, or the what we teach. We now have Common Core State Standards for English Language Arts and Common Core State Standards in Mathematics, well on their way towards implementation in our classrooms. We also have new English language development standards that are aligned to the Common Core that will need to be implemented. In addition, the next generation science standards have been approved by the state and will require an implementation plan to be developed in San Luis Coastal.
So just as we got used to the old alphabet soup, we knew star, we're going to change that to MAP. Just as we got used to CST, we're going to change that up to SBAC, SBAC. So the important piece to understand about the new accountability measures are that, first of all, there's English language arts and mathematics, but in addition, there are literacy standards. So there's literacy standards for science, social science, and career tech electives. In addition, it's important to understand that this assessment is now computer-based. So all students, 3rd through 8th and 11th grade, will be taking this assessment online. Next is to consider our district common assessment system. This is really the bridge that helps lead to the new system. This helps students and teachers be ready for the challenges that are ahead of them. So these assessments are Common Core aligned, and they're Common Core aligned in order to familiarize teachers and students with expectations of the new standards. It includes performance-based tasks, not just multiple choice, in order to prepare students and teachers for the level of rigor that will be expected. It'll have computer adaptive assessments in our district assessments as well, so that teachers and students can become comfortable with computer adaptive assessments. Finally, it encourages a data-rich culture, so that teachers and administrators could make informed decisions about instruction based on this information. So next, so what are we going to do about it? Now that we understand where we're headed, the changes, the transition, what are we doing about it for this year? So we're going to look at four components. We're going to look at professional development, innovative practices, instructional coaching, and our new assessment system. Because we're committed to this growth, We are implementing extensive ongoing professional development. We all know that quality professional development truly makes a difference. And if you truly want to see system-wide changes in instruction, you need to support and understand that big change, you really need ongoing and sustainable training and professional development. In addition, something that makes San Luis Coastal Unified special to me is its commitment to innovative practices. So beyond that, we want to provide creative opportunities where students can really work collaboratively to solve hard problems, to think collectively, to work on tough things together, and to be comfortable using technology so that students are truly prepared for the 21st century place that they're going to walk into. In addition to ongoing professional development and innovative practices, instructional coaching is developing our teachers' capacity in the classrooms. Our coaches, math consultants, and TOSAs are working directly with teachers to assist in changing instructional practices to meet the challenges of our new curriculum and assessments. We are asking teachers to take risks, try new methods of instruction, and radically change some of their teaching practices. In order to do this, teachers need affirmation of the heroic efforts they are making, as well as ongoing support from our coaches and our principals.
lacking of principals. Our new evaluation system will also help us move from good to great in our classrooms. Principals and district administrators worked really hard completing extensive summer training to get calibrated with a deep understanding of what instruction looks like in the classroom with the support of our TeachScape program. Our teachers have all sat down with principals to develop goals for this year based on Charlotte Danielson's framework for teaching. Regular walkthroughs, informal and formal observations, and collection of evidence of effective teaching strategies will keep our principals actively involved in supporting our teachers in the process of strengthening classroom instruction. In addition, principals are participating in ongoing observation and calibration practice as part of our monthly meetings. In fact, we spent time today over at Los Ranchos with our elementary principals collecting evidence on questioning strategies as we went into classrooms. This Thursday, our teacher evaluation panel, made up of teachers, principals, and district administrators, will review our progress on our teacher evaluation tool as well as begin working on a new principal evaluation rubric. With our fourth preschool class opening this fall to ensure that all students are ready to learn when they enter kindergarten. Initiative 4, teachers working diligently with instructional coaches implementing our Common Core aligned writing units. Initiative 5, extensive professional development in mathematics as well as Common Core aligned units are now under development, both components of a world-class math program. Initiative 6, 21st Century Learning Alive and Well here at Los Osos Middle School at the new STEAM program. Initiative 7. Evidence of a data-rich culture is emerging in our district as teachers are now collaborating around our common assessments and making data-driven decisions to guide instruction and differentiation. For the 2013-14 school year, we're using multiple measures to track our progress, including common assessments in reading, writing, and math, as well as attendance, perception, and process data collected at our school sites. At our second student achievement report coming up in January, we'll also be sharing data on college and career readiness. We are committed to continuing to use meaningful metrics to closely monitor our progress. This year, we'll also be developing our first Local Control and Accountability Plan, or LCAP, as we're lovingly starting to call it, along with all districts in California to take the place of our current LEA plan. We believe our LCAP will be stronger because of your previous adoption of the 10 initiatives for student success. And we promise we will continue to keep you informed of our progress.
I was just wondering if you want to take a stretch break.
We're getting some feedback that we do. Yes. Okay. You all seem to be having so much fun chatting with each other, I just didn't want to interrupt. But in the interest of getting to work, we'll move it along. Dr. Prater.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and Board. I just want to let you know in advance that Ms. Robinette told me to stay on point, so I will. And I will keep this as brief as possible. I just want to, first of all, acknowledge and thank our Instructional Services Leadership Department here with Amy Shields and Kimberly McGrath and their team, along with the principals and the coaches. They've just been remarkable. We would not be where we're at today, remotely close to it, without them. And each day, as I just heard from one of the coaches, they put on their Teflon suits, zip it up, and into the fray they go. And that's kind of where we are in this state of the district that I'd like to present. And I'm referring to it as our story, which is a bit of a theme for this year, a bit symbolic and a bit truthful. Our story, though, is not for the faint of heart. It really is not. If change in something that you believe in deeply was easy, I believe everybody would do it. But in fact, it's the opposite. It's quite difficult. It requires courage. It requires diligence and the ability to get up after you've been knocked down a few times. So I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of our board. And I'm glad that we're sticking with it. And I think the rewards on the other side will last for decades and hopefully beyond that. So what I'd like to do is begin by acknowledging the board's wisdom, I believe, in here, really reflects our internal wisdom and efforts to improve what it is we're trying to do as a district for students, for all students. Student achievement accountability is the first direction that was set. The second direction is principal and teacher evaluation. That is exceptionally important because leadership matters and teacher leadership matters. Together, working together, they improve their professional practices. And what we're committed to is the new collaboratively designed teacher evaluation tool, which is designed around the Charlotte Danielson model for professional practice. This is an important piece. We're using the TeachScape interface, which allows principals and teachers to work together to see evidence, to use a rubric design system that allows them ways in which to have a conversation around their own professional practice. And it's a developmental model. It's not meant to be an I gotcha. It's meant to be developmental, to develop and improve through the course of our practice. That's what it is, and I'm proud to say that. The third piece is professional development. You heard tonight, time and again, the commitment we have to professional training and development. It's, again, very challenging when you're pulling teachers out of the classroom or you're asking them to come to a training outside of the classroom and commit to changing their practice. That comes with a price, and we're seeing that, and I'll speak to that a little bit later. Technology and innovation will be a theme this year, especially with the new Common Core funding that we've received. We know with the SBAC, the new assessment coming around the corner, we've got to update and improve our technology infrastructure. It's the key to us allowing us to become innovative in our district. Number five, budget and facilities. Obviously, budget is a critical feature of what we do. Without adequate resources, we can't continue to do the things we need to do. So we're very precise about what we're doing. We're going to keep you well informed about our budget. And the facility master plan that we've committed to doing this year will tell us where we are in relation to our current facilities as well as our vision for educating kids into the future. And where are our facilities in relation to that? And then finally, communication. Communication is everything. It's paramount to not just communicating internally our values, what our expectations are, but also externally to our community, to our parents. And this is probably the most difficult task we have before us because what we're doing is so complex. There are so many moving parts, and it's so challenging. And that's what makes this piece challenging. So I'd like to pretend to look through the lens of an educator in our district. I think it's important that we acknowledge some things. First and foremost, what I hear is that we're on the right track. What we're doing is good. What we're having our educators do is important. We're getting ready for the new standards and the new assessments. No one can deny that. It's coming within 18 months. It will be before our students, this new assessment. And that new assessment will be extremely challenging. And we're trying. We spent the last 2 years setting the stage for that. The second piece is that there's no doubt that the expectations have been set high for learning and achievement in our district. And with the new standards, I might add, they align with our expectations, that all kids learn. I think it's extremely important to acknowledge that change is difficult, and more importantly, our teachers and our principals, I will add, are really having a tough time. This is not easy. The amount of change, whether you're talking about changing your practice with mathematics, whether you're changing your practice with writing instruction, literacy instruction, I haven't even begun to talk about science and social studies. These are the things that our teachers are bravely confronting, bravely engaging in, but it should be noted in this state address that this is not easy. And I have heard words like overwhelming, I need more time, I'm feeling guilty, I'm working multiple hours on the weekend just to figure this out. So there's this assimilation piece, and I want to acknowledge it tonight. It's important. The other piece that that teachers see is the fact that we have instructional coaches at the elementary level 30 years. And now they're looking at the rubric and they're saying, oh my. And I heard this loud and clear the other day from a veteran teacher who is quite gifted. And he said to me, I feel like a first-year teacher, and it's hard. And now you throw in the teacher evaluation tool, and it just brings that much more tension to the room. But I do want to say that I believe that this is an important acknowledgement. These are the things that are happening. And this is why I said that our story is not for the faint-hearted. Next, I'd like to really talk about what matters most to me, and that's the effect on students. So what are we doing, and what do students see and feel? First of all, students are working in teams. They're working in teams, and they're solving complex problems. We also have something that has been implemented over the last 2 years, which is quite remarkable, which is we have four district preschool programs educating over 100 students that would not have gone to preschool had it not been for your decision as a board. What's extra critical to that is we also have now implemented transitional kindergarten programs throughout our district. So now these students who weren't quite ready for kindergarten now are getting that extra dose, that extra piece of learning. So all of this is now occurring prior to kindergarten, which just a few short years ago, kids were just going into kindergarten, whether they had preschool or prior learning or not. And for us, this is significant. The next piece that I'd like to acknowledge is the what I see happening throughout the district, which is kids talking about math. Teachers talking about math. I'm seeing it all over the district, math talks. And I'm seeing kids reasoning. I'm seeing adults guiding the reasoning through tough problems. I saw it today in Mr. Becker's classroom at Los Ranchos. It was a fantastic lesson, constructing meaning with equations. It was absolutely phenomenal. I also know that kids are seeing more access to technology. I'm seeing evidence at this very school right here of your actions last year by bringing sixth grade to Los Osos Middle School and giving them the tools they needed and the inspiration and the autonomy to create. They've created, I believe, what will be probably a capstone model middle school in the state, perhaps the nation, in the coming years. It's a remarkable achievement in such a short amount of time. And I also would like to be able to say that kids are seeing more adults in the classrooms, looking at it, observing instruction, talking about instruction, and being a part of the conversation. That's what we're beginning to see. This year, we have board members on boardwalks going through classrooms twice a month. And it's a remarkable thing. We are having more and more conversations among adults about great teaching. And we want to keep that as a value. And then finally, the last two, writing across content areas. Kathy Zotovich took the challenge that we put before her a couple years ago to bring Writer's Workshop from the Columbia Teachers College. She and a team went to New York, brought back the program model, brought some trainers with them, and I've never quite seen, a more fantastic implementation of writing throughout the district than that. And I'm just so proud of those efforts. In addition to that, we know Common Core has a strong focus on nonfiction reading and literature, and we have committed to that. Kids are seeing more and more of this type of expectation in the classroom. Now, I'm not going to scare you with this voluminous document coming up, but I am going to say to you that this particular document here is something I've been working on for the last several months. It's my gestalt, if you will, of how I see all those pieces working in isolation. Right now, we're working in discrete parts. What we need to do is begin to work at, this is our common core struggle, if you will. It's our common core problem. And I will venture to say it's the board's next challenge, which is how do you take all of these, what I'm calling isolated discrete parts of accelerated and specialized learning, which come out of innovation, by the way, transition to the new state standards, middle grades configuration and structure, so that we really begin to evaluate what sixth graders get in our district. I think it's really important to examine that and how we do middle school. We also have to look at our facilities, the technology infrastructure. These are things that, as you know from the local papers recently, San Luis Obispo is experiencing a building boom of sorts. The facility master plan and the demographic analysis that we'll be doing will give us a better idea of what we can expect down the road in terms of facility needs. I also think it's critical that we look at the educational vision of our district and integrate it across these discrete parts. That, of course, ties into collective bargaining. How are we working with our professional groups to ensure they're supported, to ensure they have the tools and the conditions necessary to be successful under this model? And then finally, communication again. Here we go. So among these six or seven discrete parts, this is how I believe we need to begin looking at what's in front of us. And when we make decisions, we need to keep these things in mind. Finally, this emblem or symbol that you see up here, that is quite telling. 3 years ago, we sat down as a board and as a community and developed this model. The student initiatives, the initiatives for student success, will have proven to be quite valuable in terms of predicting, if you will, where the nation is heading. Each of these parts within our Success for All student initiatives are quite compelling, and they will be with us a long time. And I'm honored to be a part of this story, and I look forward to many more years of continuing the chapters along the way. Thank you very much.
All right. Would any member of the public like to speak to the board on this issue? Seeing none, I open it up to board questions or comments. Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Dr. Prater.
We will move on to approval of the elementary single plans for student achievement. Mrs. Shields.
In your board packet, you received the single school plan goals that were developed by each of our elementary school staffs and approved by their school site councils. The plans, of course, are aligned to the district LEA plan addendum, which represents our 10 initiatives for student success. Seven of our principals are here, hanging in here tonight with us, and I want to publicly acknowledge their work and leadership in their plans for collaborating with their school community. They're also available to answer any questions you might have. And with that, we're hoping for approval of our 9 single plans for student achievement.
Shall we give a chance for the public to comment?
I'm just going to hold my tongue until you said that.
Okay, because you're so good about reminding me to do that. Would anybody in the public like to comment on this issue? Seeing no one, we'll bring back Mr. Unger.
Sure, and I'm sure we'd like to hear 10 minutes from each principal on this. And I'm sure they'd like to tell us what's going on, but I would like to move approval of item 9.02.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Mr. Questenberry. Any comments, questions by board members? Marilyn.
Just a comment that I appreciate in looking through this, all the work that went into it on the part of each school principal and their school communities and their site councils. So I thank you for your good work in this regard, and I'm prepared to vote.
All right. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. We want to thank you all for sharing your evening with us this evening.
Go home.
Run for the parking lot. There may be reports by board members. Okay, we will thank you all. Good night. Okay, Johnson Avenue Project. Take it away, Mr. Pinkerton.
Recently, Carol Florence came and informed the board about the updates with the Johnson Avenue Project and where we're headed. We have heard back from the city of San Luis Obispo over the past couple of weeks about the traffic mitigation. And basically, that was the process that was holding up the draft EIR being put out. And so, that said, it looks like we have come to some conclusions about that traffic mitigation, and so the city's putting together some costs for us and working with us, as well as even possibly looking at some grants to help pay for any of that mitigation that comes up through SLOCOG. So we'll see how that goes, that process. But that said, it does look like the draft EIR is going to come out soon. So hopefully in the month of November.
Vehicle trips. So if I understand the process, the EIR is issued, and then that sets up the discussion about mitigation and
absolutely
what activities.
Okay. Yeah, they're basically going to happen. So I mean, the traffic mitigation aspect, now that that's kind of out, that report's out, we're actually talking about that now, getting costs together, looking at what we're going to do, different ideas that they've put forward. Then the EIR comes out. But in talking to Carol and Ty, I mean, it's something – putting together that RFP, that request for proposals, is going to take some time to put together. So we just want to, I want to be ready to put it out to prospective, bidders at the time. And so if I can get that process started now, it'll have me, we'll be ready to go when that time comes.
Okay. Go ahead, Mary.
Mr. Pinkerton, may we have a, not necessarily a copy of the traffic mitigation report, but an executive summary or your analysis of the salient points in Friday
sure.
packet at some point?
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Just for my own clarification, so the request for proposals for our part of the traffic mitigation report?
No.
Or no, it's for
so
the
EIR?
This is EIR,
for the entire project.
For the entire
so
project.
So that would be
okay.
for the entire project. Because when we look at costs, we look at associated, you know, depending on what the traffic mitigation is, what our part of that is going to be. Hopefully, it'll be a small part. But you know, for the board's sake, in terms of moving forward with the project, we also want to know what the income is, you know, what the cost is going to be, what the income to the district is going to be. I think it's going to be important to know those things to be able to make a decision, you know, in terms of where we want to go and what we want to do.
Similar to what we did in the Avila property, where then the developer who's selected would have a big role in both dealing with mitigation and negotiating those things. Okay. Mark?
So I'm just going to ask for a little more clarification because I may not be understanding. So this request for proposal will include requests for, can you give me the bullet points of where we are in this? Are we actually looking for somebody that's going to turn dirt, or are we looking for something before dirt?
I mean, that's going to be something, I think, in terms of working with Carol and Ty, in where we want to go, what, you know, I guess the question is, how much of the traffic mitigation will they do? A part of, you know, that'll all be something that will come up as part of that process. And I'm assuming that this is, you know, in terms of the final RFP that goes out, will be for the, you know, to find somebody who's going to do the entire project. So that's the RFP. So, yeah.
Great, and I will support this, but I just want to understand the process just a little bit more. So we've seen possible land usage designs, right?
Yes.
But what really is going to count then is what the EIR and the traffic mitigation studies bring forward, and then what once those are done, what someone who is the favorable bidder to our RFP actually then designs the project and then shepherds that through the city and then ultimately builds it. Is that what you're asking?
Okay. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So it would become their project much the same way that Avila became Sheer Edge's project.
Yes.
And the RFPs that we would be going out for would pretty much be of the scope and density that we've discussed previously?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, I've completely forgotten who made what.
I didn't make the motion, but I will make the motion.
Oh, thank you.
Approval of the development of a request for proposal for our Johnson Avenue project.
I think they're asking for broader authority than just developing the RFP. It's actually to publish the RFP.
Yeah, we want to working with Ty and Carol. We want to put together the RFP, have it ready,
sure.
You know, have that paperwork ready to go, so that once the EIR process, once the mitigation is done, that we're able to go out.
Well, let me try it again. So I move approval of the staff request for authorization to issue a request for proposal.
I'll second that. Okay. Let's see. Any further discussion or questions? Motion by Mr. Unger and a second by the chair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0.
Make sure that I keep the board informed of the process as it happens with traffic mitigation, with the EIR, with everything.
And take care of that grass, too.
I will.
Special grass. That's a sage grass, by the way. I want to be clear about that. That's already... it's a protected species of grass that's on the property. No. So, any further board discussion or questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0 and brings us down to advanced agenda. Any members have Mark?
Surprise.
No. We've had a dearth of advanced agenda items lately. So.
Well, maybe a dearth. If it would please my board members, fellow board members, I would like to propose that we endorse the San Luis Obispo County Children's Bill of Rights. It has been endorsed by the County Office of Education, by the Board of Supervisors, by the 24th District PTA, and numerous other groups. I am prepared with other information, brief history of this on the West Coast, and I have copies of the Bill of Rights, the Children's Bill of Rights for each of you, and I've talked to First Five, and if we would like, they would bring somebody to our next board meeting to also address this.
Okay, well, I'll support Mr. Buckman in bringing that, setting that as an advance agenda item for the next meeting, and I would like to,
you got it.
Perhaps
I got,
we could have copies of it tonight
so
that we can review them. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd also like to just mention, if we do this, we would be the first school district in the county. So.
Okay, there appears to be consensus on the board, so we'll skip step two on this. I'm not sure that it'll be on the next agenda. The November 5th agenda? Okay. Is that?
Yeah, can I?
Oh, that's right. We have a study session.
Sure. Yeah. Can I ask Kim to work with me on notifying First Five when this will be on the agenda? Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other advanced agenda items for board members? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to reports by board members. Everybody's so quiet tonight.
What is it? Is this board reports?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I have a few things I'd like to just mention.
Please.
First of all, I found out tonight that Travis, over there, Travis is a graduate of Los Osos Middle School. So he was obviously in the STEAM program long before we had it. I was unable to make the PTA boardwalk, the Baywood PTA boardwalk, and I apologize. I did go to the PTA meeting that night, and I don't know whether it was mentioned, but the PTA at Baywood is funding a STEAM program, after-school program at Baywood, and I have to tell you, I was so impressed to listen to this. They did some research in the spring. The fall is going to be staff development. So this is volunteer development, and then they will implement it in the winter and the spring. So this is going to be, and it's differentiated learning. It's all the things that we're looking for, and this is at Baywood, and it's going to be all volunteer work. I think while many of my fellow members were at the San Luis High School homecoming, I went to the chili cook-off at Teach, where you're supposed to sample a lot of the chili, and I'm still doing okay, but my stomach's dealing with that, all mixing all the chilies. And just lastly, I attended the San Luis Obispo County Teen Pregnancy Prevention Task Force, which was quite an eye-opener. A lot of money is going to the South County and the North County in this work, and little of it's coming to the coast and to the city here in San Luis Obispo. And I know, I think almost all of our, of the two high schools, I think only one of our high schools is not participating at this time. And I've talked to Chris, and we're going to be playing a bigger role in this task force. So that was kind of an exciting thing. Thank you.
Okay. Chris? Is the Chris you refer to Chris Unger?
Not me.
Chris Daller.
Chris Daller.
And if I could just do a shout-out.
Sure.
Frederick Amoir is the night custodian at Bishop's Peak and Teach. And when I was looking around and wandering and holding my stomach, I found him in a classroom, and we had a nice talk, and he's doing a great job.
All right. Chris?
Yeah, and I had an opportunity to actually visit C.L. Smith as a teacher observation that I had to do for one of my teachers. It was interesting because what she was doing was working on a student with significant needs who has difficulty accessing regular education because of some medical issues that he has. And so our staff, the district staff, has done a wonderful job trying to meet those students' needs. And then I had a chance to visit Stephanie Sill's kindergarten class and Brittany Andrews' fifth grade classes, and they're both just knocking it out of the park. It's really fun to see. And then I went to homecoming, and Mr. Quisenberry was there. It was a disappointing game for Morro Bay, but the homecoming part was fun, and I think we should acknowledge the teachers there too, because the teachers really played a part in helping put together the floats and sponsoring the classes and things like that. And then finally, I got a chance to go to the truancy workshop, and I believe Mr. Dowler was there. Lots of really good information, and it's a huge issue right now. we heard from an expert in truancy from UC Santa Barbara, and just it was great. So I appreciate the opportunity to have been able to go to that too, and we need to keep working on that, keeping kids in school.
Well, I just want a point of clarification. At the Morro Bay, it was Morro Bay versus Napomo. I believe Morro Bay won.
They did win.
They did win. I was wondering if we were attending different games or in a parallel universe. Were you at? So, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to a fellow board member. I just, I was afraid the Morro Bay contention would come after somebody.
Embarrass me appropriately, please.
And just to mention something, in light of we've seen Mr. Bellier. Mr. Bellier does a wonderful job with the Morro Bay High School band, and the kids in the band seem to have a fantastic time playing at the football games. I mean, it's not technically a pep band, but they're very peppy.
I think Parallel Universes is part of the new Common Core Science Standards. I could be wrong. Just briefly, I was able to go on the Baywood Boardwalk. Terrific idea of the boardwalks. And it linked up Mrs. Shields and Mrs. McGrath's presentation on all those things we're doing out there. In fact, I think some of the pictures of Michael Wong and Barb Blanke must have been done the day we were there, because the kids look familiar. But it was a wonderful opportunity to see some of the decisions that we've made, see them in action, and actually just the enthusiasm, the pre-K and transitional kindergarten, the teachers involved in that just love it, and you sense it. You watch them with the kids. The special day class was an amazing thing to see as well, and I'm looking forward to being back here on Thursday. So, Catherine?
Since Scott Hicks apparently doesn't know his way to Los Osos, otherwise I'm sure he would have been here to make that report. But I'll just share a few things that I just happened to read on the SLO High School newsletter to parents that I can share. Well, first of all, there was a great homecoming game the other night. Dr. Prater was there, and it was a much-needed win for SLO High School. And it was a beautiful night, and big turnout, and SLO High School band played, and they were terrific, and the drum major leapt or fell from his perch and landed on his feet and was fabulous and pulled it off without a hitch. It was fabulous. But I do know that there's a theatrical performance this Friday at SLO High, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. So I wanted to share that with you. It's at 7 o'clock on Friday. And that's what I just wanted to share. I'm pretend I'm Scott Hicks right now.
And you can go home and do
just something I noted. I was fortunate enough to attend the San Luis Obispo Opera presentation of Carmen, and I noticed in the chorus some of our former students, and several of the students were our special needs students that were part of the chorus, and that's part of the new opera director's vision for opera in San Luis, is to bring in not only the San Luis Obispo Symphony and ballet, but various groups to perform in. And there were a number of students that looked familiar too, younger students that were part of it. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to note that.
And I would add that one of the backstage managers is Jordan Cohen, who is a graduate of Los Osos Middle School and Morro Bay High School. So it's great to hear about how well our students are getting involved in community activities.
And just to add, I ran into to Michael Irving, a SLO school district child, who Michael Irving, you wouldn't recognize him, but he's assisting as a volunteer with the SLO High School freshman football team, which I wasn't aware of, but at Thursdays at 5 o'clock, they play football games. So I think it would be a great gesture to the program. Apparently the JV freshman program needed a little additional energizing, and Michael Irving is still full of energy. I don't know if the Shields remembers. So anyway, it was great seeing one of our former students, and if nobody else has anything else for the cause, we'll be in adjournment until October 29th. Thank you all. Good night.